The well-kept secrets of Canadian banks are being exposed. Confessions of an ex-banker reveals all the tactics that banks and investment firms use to make millions in hidden fees by selling products that they wouldn't even buy for themselves. John Callas, ex-banker, certified financial planner for almost 20 years, and whistleblower, has witnessed it all, and he is sharing it with everyone. You'll learn investment strategies that your advisor doesn't want you to know, how to eliminate thousands of dollars in hidden fees every year, how to negotiate the absolute lowest rate for your mortgage, how to get the highest interest rates for your GICs, and much more. And now, the host of Confessions of an Ex-Banker, John Callas.
All right, hello everyone. Once again, welcome to Confessions of an Ex-Banker. I'm John Callas, certified financial planner here in the Montreal area. I hope all is well. For whoever's been listening on a regular basis, I'm up and running again. I've done two podcasts so far in the past month or so. And so we're continuing, hopefully on a weekly basis, to get these informative podcasts out to you. They're short and they're to the point, about 15 minutes or so. So I'll get to the point right away. And what I want to do today is I want to talk about how a do-it-yourself investor has performed versus the markets in the past. Now, if you remember, whoever's old enough, I guess, to remember what happened in 2008, 2009, many investors fired their advisors at that point because the markets had become so bad, and you know, there were some markets that were down by 50%. So they fired their advisor and they started using a variety of tools and investments to manage their money. And they were managing their money by themselves. They still are. Many are at this point managing their money on their own. So discount brokerage firms, exchange traded funds, and robo-advisors became much more popular. And there's basically a lot of information out there on the internet to help you figure out what strategy to use and which investments are right for you. So the interesting question to ask is, how have do-it-yourself investors performed versus the markets? A study has been done annually by a firm that's called Dalbar. They're basically, they're the financial services independent watchdog. They evaluate, among many things, business practices of firms, product quality, so you know, mutual funds and any other products that are out there, they look at the product and see if it's a quality product. They also evaluate investment portfolios or investment professionals in the industry, so they're unbiased as they're not related to any firm, so that's always a good news. And the study basically looked at U.S. investors' returns for do-it-yourself investors versus the S&P 500, the American stock exchange. So the study has been done since 1996 and looks at short-term and long-term returns of do-it-yourselfers versus the markets. And here's what I see. I'm holding up in front of me. You know, get a little closer to the radio. You might see it. Okay, kidding. So what I'm noticing is I'll give you some different ranges of investor returns and market returns. So over a one-year period, the average equity fund, or let's call it the S&P 500, earned about 7.26%. And basically, no, sorry, 7.26% is what the average investor earned over a one-year period. The S&P returned 11.96%. Now, this goes back to December 30th, 2016. So we're talking, you know, close to 2 years behind. But it gives you an idea of how performance has been. If I look at a three-year performance, the average investor has done about 3.42% versus 8.87% for the S&P 500. A five-year return, the average advisor has done very close to 10%, and the S&P 500 did about 15%. Let's go to 10 years, and the average investor return is only 3.64%. Now, that includes 2008, 2009. But the S&P 500 was almost double that. It was at 6.9%. If we look at a 30-year return, the average equity fund investor earned 4%, where the S&P earned 10.1%. So the numbers are staggering. I wasn't expecting to see that kind of number when I saw the study myself. So a do-it-yourself investor has basically underperformed by between 4 and 6% for short periods and for long periods. So let's put this into perspective, okay? If you had $200,000 in your RSP and you were earning 5% below what the market has paid for 25 years, you gave up about $677,000 in growth. So if you underperformed by 5%, you gave up $677,000 in growth. Another way to look at it, let's say you deposit $10,000 a year in your RSP and you earn 4% for 25 years. You'll have accumulated $416,000. If you would have earned 5% more, which again is almost the average of how much below the investor, the do-it-yourself investor did versus the S&P 500. So again, if you had earned 5% more, your $416,000 would become $847,000. So sometimes I run these numbers for clients, and when I do run these numbers, I do them a second and a third time just to make sure I didn't make a mistake, because the numbers are huge. And there's four main reasons as to why do-it-yourself investors underperform the markets, and I'll mention them right now. First of all, well, there's bad cost-effective implementation. That means basically that investors are using products to build their portfolios, but they're not using the best products as far as cost is concerned. There are certain products out there that you can use where the cost is really next to nothing, but yet a good sum of investors haven't figured that out, or they're using some other products which are more expensive. So that's one reason. The second reason is rebalancing. Investors fail to take advantage when minor and serious corrections occur. Let's go back to 2008. And so how many investors, I'm asking, were buying the markets when they were down 30 to 50%. So 2008, the markets were down big time. And if we assume somebody has a portfolio that's balanced with 50,000 in savings or in guaranteed investments and 50,000 in stocks. So when the markets went down, they went down close to 50%. And basically, your $100,000 portfolio became $50,000 in safety and $25,000 in stock, right? Well, at that point, what investors should be doing is selling some of their safety to buy the stock market when it's down by 50%. And I'm asking, how many people actually did that? Maybe 1%, maybe 2%. I doubt it's even that high. Anytime the markets have gone down tremendously in the past, and there's been other periods as well, obviously, that I've lived through in the late 90s and then back in 2001. And anyhow, nobody's buying. Everybody is selling, or everybody's just sitting, you know, hunkered down basically and not looking at these things. So that's one big reason why investors underperform. Number three is what I call investor behavior. So let's face it, when the markets are up, let's say 30%, and there's a certain fund or a certain investment that's up 30, 40, 50%, whether it's a mutual fund or an individual stock, well, you know, people tend to buy it, and that tends to mess up their portfolio. And it's the same issue when the markets are down. People tend to sell at the wrong times. Emotion gets in the way. So investor behavior is a very important factor. It's sort of, you know, it's almost the same as rebalancing, because you're scared to pull the trigger when things look bad, and you really want to pull the trigger when things look good. So that's something that has to come in check, that's for sure. The fourth reason is basically a faulty asset allocation. Historically, investors tend to believe that they can tolerate large amount of volatility, okay? And obviously, especially when the markets are going up, they feel they can, you know, if the markets go down by 20%, they won't react or anything like that. Unfortunately, many give up on stocks after a correction of 20 or 30%. Some people give up stocks when there's a 10% return. If they see a negative in their portfolio, they start to panic. And another thing we have to face, we haven't seen too many down markets in the past 10 years or so. It's always been up. I mean, it's corrected maybe a couple of times or three times or four times, you know, for a day or two, which basically happened last week as well. But, you know, we haven't felt the real feeling of a bear market. So people tend to panic a lot more when the markets are down and when, you know, their asset allocation is basically not where it should be because they can't tolerate the ups and downs. So all that to say that historically, investors tend to believe that they can tolerate big drops, and the reality is a lot of them can't. So if the odds are against you right now, we've established that the majority of do-it-yourselfers are behind the markets, not you, of course, but the majority of investors. Okay, so if the odds are against you, what should you do? Well, if we look at the investment industry spectrum, let's call it, okay, on the one side, we find salespeople selling expensive mutual funds, sometimes over 3% in annual fees, and providing very little value for the fees they charge. I think we've established that on previous episodes, all right? So on the other side of the spectrum, there's the do-it-yourself investor using the most cost-effective exchange-traded funds. So there are the drastic sides, okay? So the question that people have had, what's in the middle? And if you go back beyond 10 years, there was basically nothing in the middle. But an interesting trend has emerged recently where you have investors using exchange-traded funds, which so they're very cost-effective, through a robo-advisor while having a financial planner guide them as their need changes, as the markets change, as interest rates change. Everything is forever changing. So they're using very good quality, low-cost exchange-traded funds, and they're using the services of a financial planner who tends to charge a lot less than 2 or 3%, which is, you know, the industry average for most of advisors. Independent, you know, fee-for-service financial planners tend to charge a lot less than mutual funds. So that's pretty much what we've noticed has been sort of, you know, coming out in the industry. So it's quite hard for you to find someone like this, but I'll give you a couple of tips. There's an institution or a corporation called the Financial Planning Standards of Canada. It's basically an independent corporation that helps the public in, let's say, navigating through the financial planning industry, all right? And on their homepage, they have a button that says basically find an independent financial planner. And you click that, you put in your area code or something like that, and they come up with a list of people that are close to you that you can sort of either call or visit their website, so you can get a very good feeling of what kind of services they offer and what kind of products they offer. There's also, as far as Quebec is concerned, the same institution or the institution that covers our industry is called the Institut Québécois de Planification Financière. So their website is eqpf.org, and at that site you can also find independent or actually all financial planners that are registered in Quebec. So that's pretty much what you have to do. And you know what? It's not easy. If anybody wants to find out, you know, how we can set up an independent financial planner for them, I have clients across the country, so we're doing it that way as well. But it's not easy to find, and I would understand if it's frustrating. But do the work. I think it's worth it. Stay away from bank-owned mutual funds and advisors that work in banks because they charge way too much. Go over to fee-based planners and then, you know, implement some of the strategies either with the planner or by yourself with exchange-traded funds using a robo-advisor. That's the best advice I think I can offer at this point. And, you know, the landscape is changing on a regular basis. You know, other services and products come in and others go out, so you'll be hearing more about innovative stuff that's out there on this podcast as well. So that's it for today. I'm keeping it under 15 minutes like usual, so I want to thank you, and if you have any questions, feel free to drop me a line at John Kalosk, that's k-a-l-o-s, at Iron Shield Financial Planning, or just put a comment into this podcast, and then I'll gladly answer any question that you have. Thanks.
You've been listening to Confessions of an Ex-Banker with John Kalosk. Applying what you learn in this show will save you thousands of dollars every year and give you an insider's look at the strategies that the most famous investors have been using for years but have been hidden from you. To find out the exact amount you could be saving right away, call us for a free consultation at 514-819-3370. That's 514-819-3370.